Okay, my computer says 10 o'clock. Are we being recorded? Okay, good. All right, so I'm going to call the meeting to order at 10 a.m. Roll call, please.
Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Gwen Bumpers.
Yes.
Emily Bergman. Lauren Irwin. Shauna Mackey.
Here.
Jacob Pate.
Here.
Bobby Perryman. Rachel Stewart. Carol Zeese.
Yes, here.
Okay, so we do have quorum. Great.
Yes.
Any changes to the agenda?
No, not that I know of.
So we'll move on to the approval of minutes from the April 26th meeting. Does anyone have any changes or comments about those minutes? Hearing nothing, would someone make a motion to approve the minutes from April 26th?
This is Gwen. I make the motion to approve the minutes.
Thank you, Gwen. May I have a second?
This is Jacob. I'll second.
Thank you, Jacob. Roll call vote.
Okay. Donna Shaw.
Yes.
Gwen Bumpers.
Yep.
Shauna Mackey.
Yes.
Jacob Pate.
Yes.
Carol Zeese.
Yes.
Great. Thank you. All right. Do we have a share update?
John, will you be giving that today?
Yes, I will. So the first items in the share update and the ones that are most important is we have been working on some of the issues with the Aspen Discovery search results and some of the issues with communication between Aspen and Polaris. That is still an ongoing issue that was noticed on July 1st, and we have been working on that. As far as like the reasons for that, it's a little complicated. And if I'm honest, I don't completely understand it, but it does have to do with there is things having to do with servers being updated and the way that Aspen and Polaris are going back and forth and giving information so that what is in Polaris actually shows up on Aspen. And we are currently working on that. And then the issues we've been having with Verizon customers receiving text message notifications, we have been, so we figured out that the issue, as Cassie has said before, is with Verizon. It is that Verizon has changed their policy on how they send out those text messages. When we send them an email and they convert it to a text message, they've throttled the amount that we can send. And this affects not just Verizon customers, but also it can affect a lot of customers that use a service that uses Verizon's infrastructure. So it has affected many, many library patrons. And we have determined that the only real way forward is to go with a third party. We have begun the process of doing that. It does need to be, so we've decided to go with a company called MessageBee. And that was approved by the Share Finance Committee earlier this week. But to start implementation, it does have to be approved by the Share Executive Council as well as the IHLS board. So we are trying to expedite that as fast as we can to get service restored for our patrons, and keep an eye out for updates from us because we are trying to get that done as fast as possible. Otherwise with Share, so an Aspen update. So the Share Cohort 4, we are currently working on getting everyone ready for that. So Cohort 4A has gone live earlier this week. And then they have been doing lots of training with Bywater, has been doing training for usage as well as the customization. So if you are a part of Cohort 4A, please register for any remaining trainings on L2. And then Cohort 4B should be starting the launching process beginning early August. So please look out for any communications from us about that. something else to share about Aspen is that, so Aspen also comes with a web builder. If you are interested in that, we are still working through things such as like uploading the MARC records manually. So we haven't had much of an opportunity to really dig down into that web builder and see what all the capability and functions it has, but please look out for that information in the coming months. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter if you aren't, and we will, you'll be hearing some information about it when we have that info. As far as committee openings, obviously there's some openings in this committee, but we also have some openings in the executive council for the special library representative and for a large public library representative. So if you know anyone who would be interested, please ask them to check our website to fill out an interest form or contact Cassandra Thompson. And then something else I'd just like to bring up, a bit of good news is that, as you are probably aware, starting July 1st, all SHARE members have access to our cloud library electronic resource. It comes with your SHARE membership now. If you have any questions or if you'd like to add any optional extra resources to cloud library, you can contact anyone at SHARE or specifically Danielle Beasley, and she can get you set up. And I think that's about all I have.
Have a question.
Yeah.
The federal government just passed a very stringent new ADA compliant law for all websites. So I'm assuming that Aspen meets that. I know that when I was picking my colors and things like that, it actually told me how compliant I was. But overall, is since it's very graphical with cover art and et cetera, is Aspen going to meet that particular level?
I can answer that question if that's okay.
Thank you.
Hi, Cassandra.
So, Donna, we did reach out to Aspen regarding that, and they have all of their ADA, the compliance that they have for websites and their catalogs available on their Aspen website, information, the knowledge base that they have. So yes, it is. However, one of the things that they warned us about is that it's not just the structure. So, you know, you've got a summer readings right. going on, you're uploading a flyer, you're putting up right. a PDF.
I get that, yeah.
So I think that Kate Kite was actually had coordinated ADA website best practices. There was an upcoming training that I would highly recommend anybody that is doing web marketing and web content to definitely go to that, because even if you get the best web design firm in the world, if you're putting up flyers that are not ADA accessible because the color contrasts, then it's kind of for naught. So I think that there's it's a twofold process, but yes, they are ADA compliant and all of their information is available on their Aspen knowledge base, the website with all of their frequently asked questions.
Great, thank you.
Thanks.
Hey, just a quick question. How do we access that training and where is that available?
It was just advertised, I think, in this week's newsletter. Let me see if I can.
Okay,
it's next
I can
Wednesday,
check that.
Isn't it? Because I registered.
Let's see.
Because it's Rails and IHLS, isn't it? Mm-hmm. A combined okay. training. Yeah.
So that's on L2 then?
It should be. And so I'm going to put it in the chat. So everybody, if anybody is interested in that, they can register.
Thank you.
And Donna, I have one update that is related to share. If that's okay.
Go ahead.
So Pam Thomas from the CMC and I have been working on a bit of a project behind the scenes. And I am happy to announce that we are now an established NACO funnel. So that means that while we currently here at SHARE and CMC can make name authority records, we've now created an opportunity for cataloging libraries in SHARE to join us in that process. So we have two libraries who are going to be trialing starting that program with us, and then we'll be expanding it out to more cataloging libraries with staff that are interested.
Oh, that's cool.
Yep. So that'll be forthcoming in the next couple of years. More and more libraries will be able to join us.
Wonderful. All right. Any other news, Cassandra, or did John cover everything?
I think John has covered everything. Thank you.
All right. Any other questions? All right. Then moving on to new business. Seeking new committee members, we have two vacancies, I believe. Rachel Stewart will no longer be on the committee, and I couldn't remember the other one.
Emily Bergman, or for a while we all knew her as Emily Drone at Harrisburg.
Mm-hmm. So what is our process other than, you know, maybe begging on the share listservs to get a new member? I did reach out to the person I had suggested, and mm-hmm. he's not interested at this okay. time because he's just, you know, starting in as a director now. And mm-hmm. so he wasn't interested. But how do we go about reaching out to other catalogers? Quite frankly, I don't know who actually qualifies.
Ideally, they are full catalogers. We can make an exception if they are in the process of the cataloging certification, like we did with Rachel. We have three individuals, two for special libraries, one from a small public that we'll reach out to personally, but we're going to also be putting out the form in the newsletter. We can mention it at our next catalogers training session and see if we get any additional interest that way.
Okay.
But we are limited as there aren't that many catalogers. Compared to the other committee appointments where something is not required like that.
Yeah. So if anybody else knows of anybody that would mm-hmm. be a good fit, please suggest it.
Yes. Please have them fill out the form.
It's only four times a year, you know.
Yeah. So.
All right. The BIB Standards Committee Chair. I believe that I am no longer eligible to be chair because I've done 2 years consecutively, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, so.
So, our yearly question. I'm going to ask a question of Jacob, because you've been chair before. Is there a certain period of time that you have to wait before you can be chair again?
Not that I'm aware of, because Esther Curry is chair of CIR committee again, and she was chair when I was chair of this committee. So
thank you. So the chair will also, if correct me if I'm wrong, Cassandra, will be part of the executive council.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll add some meetings.
So we don't have any takers today. I mean,
can we nominate Jacob?
Yes, we could nominate Jacob.
Okay. Is Bobby Perryman not here? She's sure she doesn't want to do it again.
Yeah, nope. Bobby was the original chair, I believe, of this committee. So
yeah, but I replaced Bobby.
No, she could not make it today.
Yeah, nobody wants to do it.
I actually don't mind doing it. I just can't repeat.
Yeah, your term limited out.
It's not a hard chair position. If correct me if I'm wrong, Donna.
I don't find it hard at all.
There's been more streamlining mm-hmm. since I did it. There was a lot more work when I did it.
Yeah. No, we try to make it as easy as we can for the committee members.
I mean, I guess if nobody else really wants to do it, I'll do it again. But I would love if somebody else had the chance.
So I was just on the executive council. My term ended. So that's why I didn't say anything, because I'm not sure I can be on the executive council again. So I, you know, I'm not trying to step up.
Does the executive council have restrictions? Because what if I moved to circulation
mm-hmm.
and became the chair of circulation instead of the chair of, you know, the cataloging?
Cassandra, do you know?
I do. So the only restriction, Carol, yes, you could. The only restriction would be, because you're just in a totally different role. The only restriction is if we had anybody from Decatur also on the Share Executive Council. We have not filled the large library representative position quite yet, and I'm not sure if we had anybody from Decatur that had expressed interest. But if you can give me a minute, I can check on that, and then that okay. would inform the conversation.
Okay.
But while she checks on it, do you want to just move to the next topic while we can come back to it? Okay. Yeah. So we got Aspen and on order materials.
Yes. So this has been probably a couple months of trying to figure some things out. A while back, we were wondering, some libraries who do acquisitions or their items that are on order aren't necessarily showing up in Polaris or in Aspen. They show up in Polaris. If you search by name, title, nothing. But other acquisitions libraries items are. So we initially thought that it might have something to do with the barcode not being in there. But looking at the other acquisition libraries, theirs are in there without barcodes. So that kind of ruled that out. I have come back around to the idea that it is either an issue with the vendor and the setup with the orders when they bring them in, or possibly somehow related to the communication issue between Polaris and Aspen. So we are still working on it, but we do not need to amend the on-order policy to talk about barcodes. Right now it says that we do not include them, and I'd like to keep it that way as long as we know for sure that's not causing the issue. So just more an update than anything.
Okay. Well,
working on it.
I have to admit, I had reported that Aspen's search was not working correctly on ISBNs.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And, I had put a trouble ticket in, and the answer was I was creating a spotlight in Aspen. Mm-hmm. And so it's our book club recommendation list. So I went to Aspen and I searched by the ISBN to get that record in, and it could never find that book title. But I would go back to Polaris, and I mean, I was copy pasting that ISBN, mm-hmm. and I'd go to Polaris and find many matching records of that ISBN because of different versions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I was stumped by it. And what ended up happening was my ticket got closed because what they did was they just found the title. They went by title,
mm-hmm.
but I was trying to report ISBNs okay. weren't matching. And I found that very strange that such mm-hmm. a solid field like ISBN wasn't matching in Aspen. So I kind of wrote back and said, I think this needs to be reported as the part of the problem because yeah. it is such a specific field.
Donna, okay.
Go ahead.
When did that start for you?
I would have to tell you whenever I got that trouble ticket. Just give me a second and
that's okay. I'll look it up. Because we were having a lot of the issues with Aspen and connecting with Polaris. So I'm not sure if it was because of that
mm-hmm.
or that we've made some improvements. It's resolved-ish. And so let me find that ticket and I can check the date and then just test it real quick to see if it's still an issue. Okay.
That would be great. Mm-hmm. Again, I was really more, I mean, I knew I could search by title. I was just more reporting that in the spotlight in Aspen, you can do a whole group of ISBNs. And I had actually two that were falling out that would not let me add them to my spotlight. And it was because it was not matching the ISBN. And both of them were in Polaris because it was a book club book type situation for us. So anyway, all right, getting back to our BIB Standards Committee Chair, apparently, Cassandra does say we do not have anyone from Decatur. So Carol, you would be able to participate as the cataloging chair. And Carol has kindly said, if you want me, I will. So Jacob, you might be off the hook.
Well, if Carol would be a great chair.
Yes, you would. So do we need to vote officially that Carol is the new chair? All righty. So I would entertain a motion that Carol be voted into the BIB Standards Committee Chair.
This is Gwen. I motion that Carol be the committee chair.
Do I have a second?
I will second. This is Jacob.
Thank you. Is there any discussion or any other volunteers? So then I think we would do a roll call vote.
Yep. Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Shauna?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Carol. Sure. All right. So do we have any other comments about Aspen and on orders, or were we covered that? Okay, great.
We covered that, yeah.
All right. So in the chat, Rita had asked for us to discuss. I have noticed that there are some DVDs at the Centralia Regional Library purchase that are produced by smaller production companies. These companies use DVD minus R disc to burn the movie onto the disc. If you look at the back of the disc, it is blue in color like a Blu-ray, but have DVD-R imprinted on them. An example is The Swearing Jar starring Adelaide Clemens and Doug Smith. Are these DVDs acceptable to add to our database?
Yeah. Yeah, and I answered that, you know, those are just like, sometimes you see like DVD purchased on, or DVD manufactured on demand, as long as they're bootleg, they're perfectly acceptable. Like the Warner Archive Collection, which is a lot of like older, old movies that aren't like necessarily like famous, like those are DVD-R, and we have a ton of those in the system, so.
And you would change the 340 subfield D to burning.
Yeah, there's stamping and burning. Stamping is when it's mass produced, like something from Disney, a Disney movie or something. And then burning is the stuff. And then in the 538, you would also have DVD-R instead of DVD.
And we will get that added to the checklist for DVDs.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did not know about that. Mm-hmm. No. So that would be good.
And Donna, Cassie has an update on the ISBN, if we can go back to that real quick.
Thank you. So I did look at that ticket, Donna, and I see where it was on September 27th. We had been under the impression, we started getting tickets on Monday, July 1st, that there was the issue with the catalog connecting to Aspen, but it looks like it maybe had started a bit earlier. I did just test it with an older title, and it came through just fine if you did a search by ISBN. You remember the name of the book, and I can just do another quick test to see if it is pulling through as expected.
Boy, you're really testing my brain today. Hang on, just give me 2 seconds. It was one of our book club books, and we had rated it. We do that for anything we rate over 4. So it would have been in our top rated books, and it would have been, what month did you say I wrote that ticket?
June 27th.
It would have been the June book, and that book was... I think it was Prodigal Summer.
Okay.
No, it wasn't. No, sorry, take that back. I didn't put it in the ticket because I don't remember.
Mm-mm. No, but if you find it, Donna, I just did. So I'll do Prodigal Summer just to test it, because we were seeing the issues with newer titles.
I might have done a screenshot.
Okay.
Because I do a lot of screenshots when I'm doing trouble tickets instead of.
Let me look at it again.
And let me go to where I just stick my screenshots on my desktop real quick. And then I forget oftentimes to get rid of them. So...
Oh, you know what? I do see the screenshot. I'm so sorry. And the response. I don't see the title, but I do see a ISBN number. So let me look that up.
Okay. Yeah, it was the Prodigal Summer. Yeah. by Barbara Kingsolver.
So I'm gonna, I'll just share my screen so you can see it. But it looks like that has been fixed. Like I said, we are still seeing intermittent issues, that, but they have done a full reindex for us. And so you can see up at the top, that was the ISBN. And yep. Then you can see that you can add and do the things that you expect. Oh, and you right here appears on your list.
Right, because the person that I did that closed the trouble ticket added it by title at the time. And I could have done that. I was in the spotlight. You can do a batch of ISBNs in a row, and it'll just multiple add. So
yeah, and so that issue, like I said, what had been happening was a connection issue of trying to connect between Polaris and Aspen, and so we have identified some of the issues that were contributing. I'm not certain is 100% resolved because we're still experiencing some connectivity problems intermittently. But I think that that's what was doing it. So it does, you can search by ISBN. It looks like it is working after we've done several reindexes now. And so, but again, I'm just really hesitant to call it fixed because I know that we're still experiencing some issues intermittently. So.
All right. Well, then if we see stuff, we should tell you guys then.
Absolutely.
And not just think it's weird. You know, it's
yes,
just me.
Absolutely.
I often think it's just me today.
So. And I sent out to the share listserv last week a few days ago, I think on Wednesday. But share it with your teams. If you have an issue with Aspen that you're seeing, it's very helpful. Like you had done the screenshots, Donna. It's also really helpful to know the patron name and barcode and where they were. So were they on Aspen? Were they on the traditional catalog? Were they in the ShareMobile app? And then what they were doing. And so that helps us because we're getting enhanced error logs right now that we can really dig in and find out what's going on. But it's really helpful to know exactly when that happened so we can find those, the failure points essentially.
Okay. All right. That's great.
Thank you.
Well, I appreciate that. All right. Moving on. That should be all of our new business. Yes. All right. Moving on to old business. First up is graphic novel and manga policy.
I will be turning it over to Anna. She's been working on this very much. And I appreciate that for her. I can talk today.
Hello, everyone. I think copies of all the policies, the ones that we updated, and then the graphic novels, I split it into graphic novels and into manga. Parts of it are the same, and then parts of them are different. So let me know if there's any questions you have, or if that looks good, if that's what we were talking about, sort of with the difference between the adaptation, with the 100 being the adapter instead of the original author for the graphic novels, and then the opposite of that for a manga.
I just wanted to say this looks good to me. When I initially brought up manga or the graphic novels and changing the policy regarding adapters, I was specifically talking about manga. But at the time, we said that it might be difficult for catalogers to have to try to make a judgment whether or not something is manga or a graphic novel. This is more what I had in mind. So I'm pretty happy with this. Good job.
Okay, great. That's good to hear. I was like, I hope they like this. And then I also, like, I'm going to link in the top of the policy. I fiddled around with, like, trying to explain the difference. And then I just thought, there's this blog post from, I think it's New York Public Libraries, that like is really thorough and really good. And some people I talked to said like this was used in their classes in library school when discussing this. So hopefully that, you know, if that resource ever changes, we can update it. But I thought it was a pretty thorough resource in terms of like people struggling to figure out what the difference is. And then from there, just as this, the policy.
Well, I do a lot of both of these topics, and thank you. This looks excellent. Thank you.
Great.
All right. Now, do we need to approve these changes then for each one?
Yes, and then because it is a big change, having to separate them out and the new one, it'll need to go to membership vote in January.
Okay. So we need a motion to accept the breakout between graphic novels and manga, and that it would be then sent to the membership for a vote.
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, Jacob. Do I have a second?
This is Shauna. I'll second.
Thank you, Shauna. Roll call vote.
Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Shauna?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you. So that'll go to the membership. Not quite sure the timing of that, but.
Oh, my apologies. We also need to take it to share executive council next week.
Oh,
but then it'll go to membership.
Okay, sorry, you're right.
Doesn't it have to go out for it has to go out for member comment though too?
Yeah.
But
will it be placed on the website just like a best practice so that it can go ahead and be?
As long as Kathy doesn't have any issues with that, I'd have no problem putting up a new section for best practices, and then we can indicate that that's going to membership vote.
Yeah, I think. Jacob, I think you're right. So if it hasn't been sent out for member comment yet, we should do that first. And then so once that comes back, then we can send it to share executive council. So as long as we could always revise the motion to suggest, as long as the comments are favorable, we can go ahead and send it on to share executive council. So we don't have to wait until our next quarterly meeting.
Okay.
Yeah, if that's okay with whoever, if we want to just revise that motion.
I mean, I can revise my motion too, as long as there are no negative comments. It'd be fine to go directly to executive council.
Okay. All right. Now we're going to be reviewing policies. Mm-hmm. And again, some of these have just been tweaked a little. Bit.
Yes.
So we're starting with attaching to serial versus monograph records for serials other than periodicals.
Yes. Two very, very minor changes. We will be creating a serial flowchart that will be coming to this meeting, a future meeting, when we talk more about serials policies. That will be linked in this new one. And then the slight wording change on the sentence of only a monographic bibliographic record may be used for resources that will circulate in Polaris. We took out do not attach to a serial bibliographic record as we cover that further below. So no major changes, more making it a little bit clearer, easier to read.
Okay, do we need to vote on that change? Can we do a sweeping vote at the end to change all policy?
That would be my inclination, as long as there are no policies that want to be pulled out individually.
Okay. Any other comments about this particular one? All right, then we'll move along. Next one up, attaching to set versus individual records for multi-part audiovisual material.
Okay. There is a new addition. The number of discs in the 300 subfield A of the bibliographic record must match the number of discs that you are circulating. We have been seeing this pop up, so we figured we might as well spell it out very clearly that your discs have to match.
Seriously, people are attaching to things that
People will put their, like they break up the Blu-ray DVD combos. Mm-hmm. They will put it on the Blu-ray DVD combo record, even though they're just circulating the DVD and they're just circulating Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a thing. A little bit further down, items are not allowed to circulate in multiple cases with only one barcode. Each separate case must have its own barcode and be individually cataloged. We just reworded that for more clarity. It's the same idea, just spelling it out. And then on the original policy, we had the three examples, the entire season, the combo packs, and the multi-part audiobooks. We just put it in a chart to make it a little bit easier to read, more visual. So really it's minor change to this one with that new addition.
Okay. Any other comments? All right, attaching to a set versus individual records for multi-part print material other than serials.
Okay, there are actually no changes to this one. We just broke it down the bullet points for easier reading.
Okay. Moving on to baseline policy statement for cataloging practices in SHARE.
Only major change, not really major, but we added in the second bullet point, the section with in coordination with the SHARE Bibliographic Services Manager. Originally, it said it was determined on a case-by-case basis, but who was making that determination? Just clarifying that sentence. I did notice when I was reviewing it that the third check mark under the fourth bullet is possibly redundant. I may just move Kit and Caboodle records up to that second one and eliminate that third one. That was my fault for not catching that sooner. And then just bullet points for easier reading.
Okay. Book club editions and regular editions on the same record.
Yes. And I realize my apologies on this one that it wasn't as clear as it should have been. This one we'll be coming back to again at some point. We would like to change it to different editions on the same record or that type of verbiage, because we realize that it's not just books. Sometimes you have different, slightly different versions of DVDs that don't necessarily justify a new record. So we're going to kind of expand it and group some things back together. It would also include paperbacks and hardbacks on the same record potentially. So just a heads up more that this one is coming and we're going to have some renaming on it.
Okay. Cataloging Blu-rays, DVDs, and Blu-ray DVD combo packs.
This is the one with the most changes. So as going through this, we realized a lot of what we had in there was actually procedural rather than policy. And we cover a lot of that procedure in the checklist. So what we would like to do is have links at the top for the checklist that we'll be keeping updated, as well as the training videos on DVDs, Blu-rays, et cetera. So we would be taking out, for example, the formatting of the MARC tag 300, because that we cover that extensively. What else did we take out? Local edits such as the GMD. We can take out that note that this is a local edit only. We cover that very heavily in the procedures. The retailer exclusive or rental editions section would actually be linking to that differing editions policy, because that would be one that could be grouped together. We also did expand the DVDs formatted in regions 2 through 6, PAL format or Blu-rays formatted in regions B and C. We are seeing some more of those. So bringing that in under that particular type of formatting and what exactly has to be done with that, since that is how we differentiate those for patrons. That is the changes on that one.
Okay. I really like this idea of linking back to the training videos, mm-hmm. Because I was kind of behind in my cataloging hours. I had to do some binge watching of training videos the last 2 weeks of June. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there are some really good things in the videos. It's just which one. Which mm-hmm. one is it in? So I would yep. really like to see some kind of indexing, but this okay. also is very good because, you know, if I was just struggling today on how to do a, you know, a PAL video, it would be really, really nice to be able to click right on to something that you guys have already covered.
Yeah. So. And so I actually have good news in that realm. We are this fiscal year, very heavily focusing on redoing our cataloging training and making it in a similar format to our barcoding training. So it's going to be broken down into sections. So if you do have a question, we can easily identify, you need to look at this specific section to get those answers. So that is coming this fiscal year.
That would be fantastic, I think. Yep. Any other comments about this particular one? All right, moving on to cataloging of advanced reading copies, advanced screening copies, and uncorrected proofs, etc.
So all the information stayed the same. We just reformatted it for easier reading. And instead of having at the end of each one the exception, we just put that at the bottom as exceptions in general.
Okay.
That's it.
Any others that we need to talk about?
None that we've worked on yet. We'll have more for you at the next meeting.
Oh, okay. So since these were all pretty minor changes, I think we can just make one motion to cover all the minor changes. It was not heavy enough to really send that out to membership and get comments, I don't think. It's more about formatting it and how it reads more than anything, yeah. Which I think it's excellent to always change that up and try to make it clearer. So I would entertain a motion to approve all of those minor changes to the policies mentioned. I just need a motion.
This is Jacob. I will make that motion.
May I have a second?
I'll second it. This is Carol.
Thank you.
Okay.
Roll call.
Donna?
Yes.
Gwen?
Yes.
Shauna?
Yes.
Jacob?
Yes.
Carol?
Yes.
Can I mention one minor typo?
Yeah, absolutely, please.
The Blu-rays, that combo pack.
Yeah.
Under the note, it says includes a 520 note with the type below for Blu-rays published for regions B and C.
Mm-hmm.
5 is missing from the 520.
Oh, thank you. We'll get that updated.
Thank you. Okay. Any public comment? Hearing none. Any announcements? Okay. We're doing good. So our next meeting is Friday, October 18th at 10 a.m. Does anyone have anything else? All right, then we can adjourn this meeting at 10:42 a.m. And see everybody, I guess, in October.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
All right, bye.
Bye.